The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Sure Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You have listened to us over 500,000 times. American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
American Muslim 360 is
too legit to quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
This ain't that kind of show, sister.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Muslima Reality Radio Show. Sorry.
If you are easily upset, offended, have high blood pressure, a weak stomach, and or no sense of humor, then this is not the show for you. The hosts do not claim to be scholars, sheikhs, or imams. They are simply providing a forum for the sisters. So keep your bit eyes to yourself. Salam alaikum. This is Riyad Abdul-Qayyum, a.k.a. the Black Man, representing Collegiate Records all day, every day. You know I listen to Kalima Abdul Rashid, the Muslima Reality Show, all day, every day. Hey, hold on, let me take this phone call for a second. Yeah, hello? Assalamu alaikum. Now I'm doing the drop for Kalima, the Muslima Reality Show. Yeah, nah, it's on right now, that's what I'm telling. Yeah, keep it tuned in, keep it locked. Yeah, Sunday, 5 o'clock Eastern. Yeah, that's it. All right. Assalamu alaikum. Muslima reality. It's Muslima reality.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, upon our last and final messenger to all of mankind, may the perfect peace and blessings be upon him. Amen. Upon those that went before him, including Adam, Moses, Noah, Aaron, David, Jacob, Job, Enoch, Ezekiel, and Jesus, upon many, may the perfect peace and blessings of Allah be upon them. Again, amen. Upon Prophet Muhammad, Ibn Abdullah, his noble companions and righteous families, and all those who aided in his journey, may Allah be pleased with them all. I have to say again, amen. Upon us, the believers, may God forgive us our sins. Ya Allah, we are begging you constantly every day, over and over again. Please forgive us our sins. Amen. Thank you guys for tuning in. You are listening to Muslima Reality, powered here by CWSC Community Wide Shura Conference, AM 360, American Muslim 360. I am your host, Sissy Kaleem Abdul Rashid. It is a wonderful opportunity to be here and to be able to say Alhamdulillah, which means all praise due to God, Allahu Akbar, which means God is the greatest. Able to ding you guys. SubhanAllah, glory be to God. Yes, we praise him and worship him, meaning giving all of the praises to our creator of everything that exists. Amen. We are talking today. Our topic is, why do we judge? We know to enjoin the right and to forbid the wrong, but our topic today is why we judge. Our guest is Sandra Thompson. She is a lawyer here in Southern Pennsylvania, whom Before becoming a lawyer, was a probation officer. Now she is running for judge in the Court of Common Plea, again here in Southern Pennsylvania. We definitely love for all of you guys to join in with your questions, comments, concerns, ayat, hadith, love, salam. Hey, you hear me say it every Sunday. Do not feel out of place. Do not feel out of topic. We are one family of humanity. We thank you and we welcome you in advance. The show topic, I mean, the call-in number throughout the show is 425-292-4253. Again, 425-292-4253. Push 1 to access. I will let you in. We thank you, as always, and again, in advance. May Allah reward us. May we have success, and prayerfully, the benefit will be for the masses, inshallah. But you guys, what I want you to do is hold tight. Do not go anywhere. I'm going to take a quick break. But before I do that, I want to get out the time, date, and weather, okay? But I want you guys to hold tight for our topic and our guest. She will be here, inshallah. Our topic, again, is why we judge, with our guest, Sandra Thompson, our sissy in humanity amongst all of us. Definitely, we're going to welcome her, you guys. Definitely show her some love. But before I take that short break, I'm going to get out the time. The time here is 5:09 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know, we are always counting time, always counting time. We know it is moving quickly. It is definitely moving towards its destination. We know that everything that has a beginning has an end. Food for thought. May we be prepared. May we stay alert. The date here is Sunday, October the 22nd, 2017. It is the second of our Islamic calendar, the second day of Safar, 1439 after Hijra. The weather here in Southern Pennsylvania is a beautiful, alhamdulillah, beautiful high 76, low 60. Should we make it and see it, feel it, inshallah. Again, should Allah wills. But may we stay focused no matter the weather. May we stay prepared. It is a metaphor, meaning may we stay spiritually ready and in good times and or in difficult times, remembering life is a test, and it's not where we are, but it's where we end up, inshallah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break. You guys, hold tight for more Muslima Reality, AM 360, Community Wide Shura Conference. Our show topic, why we judge, our guest, Sissy Sandra Thompson. Hold tight. Do not go anywhere. Assalamu alaikum.
Falling up, better reach up to the sky. Yeah, I'm enjoying this.
thankful for this day. Gotta get on my knees and pray to the Lord above. Show me love, I soar like a dove floating off his grace. It's fresh that I'm resting, I can't complain. See the smiles up on his face. Living life like a queen, I am you with me. So fresh, so fit and free. Yeah, you know you like that. When your man be so strong, all you do is bounce back. Can't hold me down, my feet barely touch the ground. I once was lost, but now I'm found, cause feel like I'm falling up and I can't get up. Cause there ain't no luck and it ain't too much for me to make the best of my destiny. Feel like I'm falling up, yup, I'm so grown up and I can't get enough. But it ain't so tough that won't not so get the best of me. Got me feeling good, so good. Standing taller than they thought I would. Tell them watch this. Negativity is dismissed. Yeah, push it out the door. Spread your wings, take flight so that you can soar. And more, appreciate the little things. There's much beauty that life brings. Don't take it from me, yourself as a lens so you can see how it is to live when your heart is so free. Yeah, you know it's all love. And I say all this just because feel like I'm falling up and I can't get up. Cause there ain't no luck and it ain't too much for me to make the best of my destiny. Feel like I'm falling up, yup, I'm so grown up and I can't get enough. But it ain't so tough that won't not to get the best of me.
Alhamdulillah, all praises to God. We have to say that. Hey, you guys, again, we thanking you for holding and tuning in. You are listening to Muslima Reality, powered here by American Muslim 360, community-wide Shura Conference. I am your host, your sissy, Kalima. You guys hear me say that every Sunday, alhamdulillah. That was DMD, the Muslima Diva. It is called Falling Up. So what we're going to take from that is push that negativity out the door. Definitely. We don't need it. We don't want it anymore, inshallah. But for you who have just tuned in, we thank you as always. We are talking. Our show topic today is While We Judge. Our guest is Sandra Thompson. She is the NAACP president here in York, Pennsylvania. She holds a law office here and is a local attorney. And also, she is now running for a seat on the York County Court of Common Pleas. We definitely welcome her here. We want you guys to welcome her. You guys definitely support this show topic. And again, call in with your questions, comments, concerns, ayat, hadith, love, salam, complaints. Hey, we take them all. You guys hear me say, do not feel out of topic. Do not feel out of place. We are one family of humanity, and you are welcome. I hope you don't hear a lot of dinging and pinging, you guys, because this is a live show worldwide. One take, what you guys get is what you guys are getting. We are asking you to be patient with us in advance. May Allah reward us for our intentions. Anything said on this show that is bad and or bitter, it comes from us, because you know what we do. We fall, we fail, we fumble. We are fallible. Anything good, great, and or sound comes from God. May Allah reward us again for our intentions. I mean, again, the call-in number throughout the show is 425-292-4253. Again, push 1. 425-292-4253. We thank you as always. We have to say thank you. You know that's what we do. But I'm going to open up our guest, Mike. I went in the back to see, was she here? She is here. A Muslim, I believe a word is better than cash in hand. So we have our sister Sandra on. Sandra Thompson, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you, Kalima?
I am great, fantabulous, wonderful. I cannot, I mean, I could complain a lot, but I better not, but I'm feeling great, no complaints.
Bless.
Yes, completely, definitely. I want to say thank you for accepting the invite, you know, because, you know, believer's word is better than cash in hand, because it's not always that, you know, we open up the mic and the guest there, so we thank you. You know,
I'm thankful for the opportunity.
I definitely appreciate it. So how you feeling? How are you feeling? Said blessed, but how are you feeling?
I am great. I'm great.
I'm great.
Out, you know, as you said, I'm campaigning for Judge of York County Court of Common Pleas. So I'm out in the community meeting people, greeting people, let them know who I am, reminding them to go out to vote. It's November 7th. So everyone needs to go out to vote, even for a judge, because judges affect your everyday life.
Yes, completely. And again, like you say, we have to, you put yourself in a position to, you know, have the naysayers, the positive and the negative. So with you getting out in the community, that is a wonderful thing, because the people want to see you. They want to hear you. They want to see you. They actually want to see how human you are, you know, because when you sit behind a desk or behind a title or behind a robe, they think, you know, you don't have feelings and emotions, you know, you're exempt from that, but you are in the community being active. So that is, you know, something that will be appreciated should you be appreciative, you know, because it goes both ways. You know, you're working for the people. And so with that, you're putting yourself in a position to, you know, hear the cries, to hear the pleas, to hear the hiccups. What are some of the hiccups you're hearing in the community?
Well, I mean, definitely the local community in York County, we are concerned about the violence, concerned about what leads people to get involved in violence, concerned about drug addiction, whether it's opioid, whether it's crack cocaine, or whatever the drug addiction or addiction is, period. And they all, quite frankly, stem from the same issues, which is lack of goals, lack of opportunity, lack of respect for life, and giving up on your life. Mm-hmm. So we have to get people motivated by getting them goal-oriented, help them to be employable, help them to have transportation to get to work, help them to see themselves as a value in this world. So they value themselves, they'll value other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things, definitely, I always say God-forsaken dungeons mean the soul. One of them is lack of religion. I find that, you know, a lot of us turning away from religion, but we have to have, you know, that should be the core of us, you know. I mean, a lot of us know that if you don't have humans to turn to, you should be able to turn to God, you know. And I find that, you know, when you mention God in society, we have a tendency to, you know, shun ourselves from the reality of it. So how do you feel about that?
Well, I'm a person of faith as well, so I totally agree the fact that we need God. Yeah, absolutely. I believe we need God. I absolutely believe that even when in life gets hard, and even in our own home sometimes we're mistreated, even in our own home sometimes we're devalued. So we need to know what our value is, and it's the, you know, God who gives us our values, God who tells you are valuable. So, even if you didn't have a friend or family member to tell you that you are worthy and you do have purpose, because, again, it's the same thing with those goals I was talking about. If you recognize you have purpose, then you will be living for someone other than yourself and walking to that purpose, then walking away from crime and walking away from drugs, or walking away from suicide, because of the fact you know you are a person of purpose. You were put here for a reason. So definitely that's something that I let people know, from my community service work to my legal work to now running for judge, is that people have a purpose here.
Yeah,
and it's
completely
a positive one.
Now, Definitely. And that's the thing that we have to keep pushing. We have to keep pushing the word positive, and not only pushing
right.
that word, but positive words like beautiful and wonderful and terrific. Sometimes I know I use psychology on my kids all the time, you know, and it just, you know, move their spirit. I mean, I could get them energized. But you have to use this sometimes even on an adult level. You know, you have to use psychology on them just to motivate them, to push them, to, you know, bring them awareness. But in today's society, we are living it because this is across the board. This is worldwide. We see it on higher levels and higher positions, you know, just, I mean, where, you know, the society, things have become the norm in society where, you know, the good has been made bad and the bad has made good. And you see so many of these things in society. Now, with you holding the position that you are trying to stand firm on, you're going to have to deal with a lot of people with mental issues. How are you feeling about, you know, dealing with a lot of people with mental issues? Because sometimes when you're placed in judgment, you know, a lot of these people go into, you know, the prison systems or, you know, before, you know, the steps, the procedures or the protocol is made before that. How are you feeling about the mental conditions in our society?
Well, I mean, I definitely agree, and unfortunately, many are facing mental health issues, and unfortunately, the court has not, the justice system in general has not adequately addressed the issues from the point of contact by police to what to do with them if they have that contact, to making sure that they get the proper housing and treatment. Many people I know or I have encountered that are homeless are have mental health issues, and what's normally done with them is they get a trespass. They get cited for trespass because they're just trying to find a place to sleep for the night or keep warm. So then they go to jail, and quite frankly, for a summary offense of trespass, they wind up spending more than 30 days in jail, which is more than what the offense itself calls for, just because they don't have anybody speaking up for them to come out, or they don't have an address to go to. So it's a continuous circle with people with mental health issues. So, yes, I think sensitivity, understanding, knowledge, education needs to be had, looking for facilities. At the same time, some of that is legislation, funding of
mm-hmm.
facilities, to make sure that
mm-hmm.
there's enough beds, making sure that there's enough beds for those who are coming through or affect the system, and then making sure people get enough, the treatment, the proper treatment, and it's recognized. A lot of times
yeah.
retail thefts are because of mental health issues. Again, people are just trying to eat, trying to get some
mm-hmm.
clothes. So they get these
wow.
crimes that start out petty, but they grow. They grow until
mm-hmm.
they become felonies just because of the sheer number of times they got arrested.
Hmm.
So, yes, we
That's
have a lot
nice.
To do in the mental health field.
Yeah, I think it's and with the drug use, that's on a whole nother term. We're going to talk about that, but I have an anonymous caller, so I'm going to open up the mic and pray this is positive and not negative. Anonymous caller, what's your reality?
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. I didn't know I came up anonymous.
Hey.
Yes. Good afternoon, Kalima. Good afternoon, Sandra. My name's Margaret.
Hello.
And I'm just calling in support
Margaret.
Of you as the candidate,
hey.
Attorney Thompson, because I do believe that
you
do have your finger on the target. I do believe that you have a heart for the people, and I do believe that with the time that you spent in the community, with the work you've done with your clients, and with the information that you gather from the number of collaboratives that you work on, as well as the clients that you serve, that you would be able to be a viable resource in the judicial system from the court system, from the judicial
Thank
system
you.
As a judge. Mm-hmm. And I just believe that the information, I was listening, I did join late and I do apologize, but I did hear you discussing about individuals struggling with mental health, and we both know
mm-hmm.
that the mental health component leads to the self-medication that leads to the drug component, and they kind of go
mm-hmm.
back and forth. So as long as we're trying to work together to find a continuum of care that allows the individual to be treated properly and not necessarily medicated properly unless it's needed, but to be treated properly and given the resources available to lead a productive life, I think that's important. I do see that they are moving in that direction as we speak. However, I think your voice will be a strong component in kind of really bringing that into fruition for all people.
Thank you very much, and absolutely, that I think that is very important to point out the fact that, because also dealing with people with mental health, that they do sometimes need medication, but then it needs to be at the right levels, you know, so that addictions are avoided as much as is possible, that addictions are avoided. So yeah, I definitely agree with that, and we need to keep that positive direction of helping to assist people with mental health issues to become positive members of society.
Definitely, completely appreciate that. Thank you for your call, Margaret. Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
We gotta bring
you.
Yeah, you do the same. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Okay, so with that, you know. With that being said, so what we do need, we need a joint effort, you know, in solving some of,
absolutely.
Of the problems that we do have in the community. So how can we, what are some of the things that you will support and or encourage us to do as a joint effort, as, you know, on the legal and on the community side?
Well, first and foremost, the community has to understand that voting is still very important. It is extremely important. And even voting at all levels for the people who are running for legislators, the people who are running to govern you, including the people who are running to judge you. Some people say they shouldn't have to vote for a judge. But in Pennsylvania, that's what you do. You vote for judges. And really, you should want to do it, because one of the things that you said earlier is judges are human beings. So that means you have the good, you have the bad, you have the patient, you have the impatient, that you are putting, whether you vote or not, you are putting a human being in a black robe to cast judgment over you and your family. So by consciously voting, you have a chance to impact and make a choice as to which of those human beings you're going to put in that position, and looking for that person to be sensitive to your needs, sensitive to have been in the community, listen to community, of the community, and working for the community, versus the fact of thinking that it's a elite position that they deserve, so that way, you know, they judge by a high place, looking down on people, versus being from and among the people. So that's the type of person that they really should be going out looking for and voting for. And then after you do that, then you keep the person accountable. I continue to attend community meetings. Even as a judge, I would do so I can interact to find out what's going on. I'm involved with the York Opiate Collaborative, Domestic Violence Task Force, Truancy Initiatives. I have been involved in many things like that. So that's the other thing the community can do. Get involved in what's going on in the community, finding out what are law enforcement saying, what is probation saying, what is recovery places saying, and have your voice there. What are you saying? So when these judges or these attorneys or these police are there gathered together in one room discussing issues, or is your particular group represented? And you want to make sure your group is represented, and the best way to do that is you be there so that they also hear your voice and can reflect your voice when they make legislation and set policy and procedures, because they're setting these policies and procedures based on the voices that they hear in these community meetings. So be a part
Definitely.
Of it. Hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. Vote.
Now, you had mentioned sensitivity, and the reason why I pulled that out is sensitivity, because we are living now, in a black and white world, and I just say that to put it in gist, but there are a lot of segregation and separation going on, and with that, I say, because you are an African-American running for a position, and that will have some, you know, some rockiness amongst the community. So what can you say to, and I'm speaking about the African-American community, what can you say to them to give them a push? Because I'm also in the public, and I hear the positive, and I hear the negative, and the negative that I do hear, you know, have no real substance. So what can you say to them to encourage them to, you know, vote for you?
Well, you know, I think, again, a lot of things as far as vote for me. I talk about my experience. Again, I've been involved in the legal system in one way or another for over 20 years. I was a probation officer, public defender, prosecutor. I worked with juveniles in a group home with delinquent and dependent juveniles. I worked with Central Pennsylvania that became MidPen Legal Services for protection from abuse, custody, divorces, Social Security, almost everything that goes in front of the Court of Common Pleas. I've operated my own business since 2003, so that's over 14 years. I've been doing everything from federal civil rights to everything going in front of the Court of Common Pleas, landlord, tenant, housing, criminal, custody, family, dependencies, adoptions, name changes, civil cases, defending cases from traffic violations to homicides. So both, I've been on both sides of civil, family, and criminal matters as a legal advocate. So I'm going to already have the knowledge as a judge. And then when I talk about my community involvement, I've been involved in community for over 30 years in many different ways. You mentioned president of NAACP. So while I run for office, I step back from that because NAACP is not political. But through that experience, I got to meet a lot of people, a lot of organizations, and build a lot of collaboration. So is that? So I'm already community service minded. So I'm not. I would not change as a judge. Those are all reasons to vote for me, irrespective of white, black, or whatever, because of the fact I'm really the most qualified when you look at the versatility and the diversity of just my legal and community service experiences. Now, specific to African Americans, I think what to say to them is, you can't get so disenfranchised with the judicial system that you sit home and say, I'm not going to do anything because nothing works. That's what keeps it the same. By failing to get out and vote is what keeps everything stagnant, status quo. So you have to do something different, which is go out to vote and even go out to vote for a judge, because there's also judges up for retention, Judge Snyder, Judge Wren. So if you've heard complaints and you're out there complaining about the judges and the judicial system, you have a voice in whether you keep them or whether you don't keep them and whether you elect me or any others. So you absolutely have a voice. It's, you have to use it.
Right. And you're here to support the people and not a color. So with that being said, I'm going to take a PSA, but I want to ask you a question to give you thought when we come back. I want the word Islamophobia, because, you know, I'm a Muslim, and, you know, we've spoken across the board. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break, a PSA, and you guys hold tight. But we're going to talk about Islamophobia just a gist, because, you know, we're in a community where, you know, our voice matters just the same. However, we are a people that are, you know, being ostracized just out of, you know, ignorance. So we're going to talk a little more with our guests. You guys, we want you to call in with your questions, comments, concerns, ayat, hadith, love, salam, support, whatever you have, you are welcome. 425-292-4253. Push one, that'll access you in, and I definitely thank you as always in advance, okay? So hold tight. More Muslim Reality, CWSC, Community Wide Shura Conference, AM 360. That is American Muslim 360. Hold on. Peace.
Stop the music.
At this point, I want to say this, and I'm going to say it at this point. I had it for later, but I'm going to say it right now. What we need in America as Muslims, we need what I asked our African-American brothers to give us, an intelligentsia. And I'm telling you, we can do wonders here in this country.
Assalamu alaikum, guys. Peace be with you. I'm Mukhtar Mohammed, Executive Director for the Community Wide Shura Conference, or CWSC, a national intelligentsia and the parent corporation for American Muslim 360. And I'm pleased to share with you there's a brand new show coming to American Muslim 360, and yours truly will be hosting. I'm inviting you to be my guest on a special series entitled Getting to Know the CWSC. It premieres on Friday at 9 a.m., April the 14th, and it'll be in place of our regularly scheduled Friday roundtable. But don't worry, Mark Shaheed will be back in the host seat the following Friday on April the 21st. Getting to Know the CWSC will air every 8 weeks, and we'll explain how that'll work. But the important thing for now is that this new program will be a unique opportunity to hear directly from the executive director. It'll be an in-depth discussion on the conceptualization and building national intelligentsia to serve the group intellect. We'll take you inside our architecture, mission, vision, and guiding principles, and our family of intelligentsia components, including American Muslim 360. We'll examine some of the Quranic-based supports undergirding our foundation, including the commentary of Imam Dr. Wadif B. Muhammad, who inspired the conceptualization of CWSC, as well as what vision our founder, Imam Thomas Abdul Salam, saw in connecting us as a group intellect. So stay tuned to hear more about Getting to Know the CWSC, premiering Friday, April 14th at 9 a.m. I look forward to talking with you soon. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace be upon you. Are you enjoying what you're hearing? If so, stay tuned. We'll be right back after these short messages. You are listening live to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in all of the nation. American Muslim 360.
Unchained.
What exactly is Talk Unchained?
It's going to be a mix of business and economics, politics, education, a little bit of international affairs. Talk Unchained. What I try to do is I try to be very informative and a little bit provocative at the same time.
Talk Unchained with Marlon Aldridge.
It's going to be something that's going to blow your mind, man, because I like to dig real deep, that research piece, and then just shock and awe, man. That's my style, the shock and awe. Talk Unchained.
Talk Unchained with Marlon Aldridge every Monday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Live only on American Muslim 360 Blog Talk Radio, the number one Islamic radio station in America.
Hey, you guys, thank you for your patience. You are listening to Muslim My Reality Powered here again by American Muslim 360 Community Wide Shura Conference. I'm your host, Kaleem Abdul Rashid. Our topic today is Why We Judge. Our guest is Sister Sandra Thompson. She is running for judge here in York, Pennsylvania for the County Court of Common Plea. She is very experienced. For you guys that are just tuning in, we're going to continue with our Q&A. Before I went to the break, I was speaking about Islamophobia because, you know, we are always in the news, you know, rather negative or positive, the light is shed and or shining on us. So I'm asking you, Sandra, how do you feel about Islamophobia?
Well, I'm against all those type of phobias. That's really based on, as you said, I believe I heard you say ignorance, you know. I think that's where a lot of isms come from. They come from the lack of knowledge. And the lack of knowledge quite often comes from the lack of association, you know, just not being around, not encountering. So then you just hear what maybe TV or social media something says. So and unfortunately, people breed on the negativity, as I heard you say earlier, that people breed on negativity more than positivity. So fear is just one of those things. So I think that you know, we need to accept all each other that for our commonality, and you know, just let us live and worship as we believe is right between us and God, you know. So that is what I believe.
Right. Okay, because, you know, we have a community here, and, you know, it's a split down the middle. You know, there's those of us that will vote, and there's those that us that will not vote for whatever reasons. You know, personally, you know, we live in a system that, first of all, we live in a Christian state. I apologize, you guys. Because this is live, should you hear any blue splendors, misquotes, ebonics, mess up, kids in the background, I'm going to let you know right now I have 8-year-olds. So, you know, 8 and 11, they will mama me on and off the clock, okay? So, if you hear any pinging in the back, hey, that's them. But, you know, again, we have a community of Muslims. You know, there are those that's for the judicial system, and there are those that are not. You know, there are those that will vote, and there are those that will not. However, we live in a land that is a Christian society, and we live amongst the laws that's being passed and promoted, such as the fire, the police, the hospitals, I mean, the transit. You know, when we do not vote, we're voting. You know, when we do vote,
right. We
vote. So I say that to say, you know, where the Muslims is concerned, you have those that will support and those that will not support. Me personally, I am, you know, we have professional people that, you know, have a interest where the law is concerned. You know, they are, when I use the word professional, they are specialists in their trade. They learn and study the law. You are a doctor. You are a profession in your trade. You are a lawyer. You are a profession in your trade. I'm a hairstylist. I'm a profession in my trade. So who will we go to support us when, you know, crisis or problems, you know, arises when we are in everyday situations? Now, we're dealing with, in your case, being a judge. And, or, you know, right now you are a lawyer. So I say this to say, what can we do as a community, as an Islamic community, because we have a small community here, what can we do to be involved and or support to let our voices be heard, not just heard, but be accepted and respected?
Well, I mean, I think you said it several times, being involved, recognizing that they do have a choice to vote or not, but even when they don't vote, they are voting. You know, they're voting for whoever wins still, you know, because if they did not want that person to win, then their lack of vote was a vote for them. And living upon this society or in this society, and as you said, the law enforcement, the judges, they unfortunately, or fortunately, however you look at it, they will stand over the person, regardless if you're Christian, Muslim, or have no belief in God. They are the ones who are you're going to encounter. They're the ones, if you happen to find yourself in court, they're going to be casting judgment over you. So regardless of your faith, if you should be voting, and you should be voting for someone who is interested and respects your position and your issues. I am a Christian. Now, however, I've worked with people of the Muslim faith for years. You know, Brother John, on occasion, Akmak Sifala, all the time, really. I've known him and worked with him since I was a teenager, probably like 19 years old. So this is 30 years now. So we've gotten involved in community service issues. And when he worked at the school, he would have me come and speak to the students. So regardless, we can get involved in, we can come on one accord. And the things that we're, it's neutral or other world or try to lift up for education and stuff like that, that affects all of us, we can collaborate in that way. So I think that's what we should continue to do, and you should look for people that breed understanding versus phobias, you know, and make sure that those are the people that are getting these elected positions. So, and you can do that by getting to know them and, two, voting for them.
Definitely. For you guys that have any questions, by all means, push 1 on that phone after dialing 425-292-4253. Again, push 1 after dialing 425-292-4253. Okay, now you are running for the County Court of Common Pleas for the layman or those that, okay, I see Sissy Debbie. Where you been at, Sissy Debbie? For those that may not know or lack the understanding of what is the process of the York County Court of Common Pleas, what can you give, how can you explain this to them? Because I know there's different judges over different, hey, Sissy
yes,
Debbie, 301, what's we out? Okay, hold on, Sissy Debbie, go ahead, Sandra.
Oh, assalamu alaikum. I am so impressed with this, your guest today. She just sounds
Thank
like
you.
She's so for the people, of the people, and we need that. We don't have enough of elected officials that care about us. And someone that suffered from mental illness that was homeless, I really appreciate your take on that. I think if we can get people like myself on the right medication and the right, you know, opportunities and everything, we can, we don't have to be in that hellhole, so to speak. But I just
Absolutely.
Wanted to say how much I'm enjoying this. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, wa alaikum assalam. Thank you so much. Now, again, we appreciate you, Sissy Debbie, as always. Now, again, how can you explain to the layman or to, again, those that lack understanding, what is the County Court of Common Pleas?
The York County Court of Common Pleas is what's referred to as the trial court. Now, the first level of court is the district justice. You don't have to be a lawyer for that. Anybody with a high school diploma can run for the district justice seat. But for everything, every level of court higher than that, which is the Court of Common Pleas, like say, for instance, you get a traffic ticket, you're going to first go to the district justice. But if you want to appeal that traffic ticket, you're going to go to the Court of Common Pleas. If you get a criminal charge, you're going to first go to the district justice. Then if that has a preliminary hearing that gets bound over, that's going to go to the Court of Common Pleas. The Court of Common Pleas is the trial court. So you are going anything, whether it's family, whether it's civil, slip and fall, car accident, you will file at the Court of Common Pleas. If you are married and unfortunately have to get a divorce, then you will file at the Court of Common Pleas. If you have to go through custody fights, child support, want to adopt a child, change your name, all of that goes through the Court of Common Pleas. If you are charged with a crime, misdemeanors, felonies, that goes through trial at the Court of Common Pleas, all the way through the arraignment through the sentencing. So all that goes through the Court of Common Pleas. For guardianships, there's the orphans court, where if you become an older adult, or not even just an older adult, but someone who, again, may be mental illness or maybe had an accident, you got a brain injury, so you're no longer able to take care of your person or your financial situation, so then the court or your family member petitions the court for guardianship. All of that is in the Court of Common Pleas. So that's why it's called the trial court. The next level after that is the Commonwealth Court. Then there's the Superior Court and the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And there's judges running for all of those levels. In my level, the Court of Common Pleas, there are 3 open positions for 4 people. So it's very important because the top 3 vote-getters is who gets the position. So it's very important for you to focus your vote on who you want to have the position. Who you know, who you best believe in, focus your vote and vote for that person. And I'm Sandra Thompson, running for judge for the Court of Common Pleas in York County. So please
definitely
vote for me.
Yes, definitely. With that being said, when you do vote, because I was understanding that you have to, again, you say with having other nominees, you have to definitely look for who you want to vote. And if you're voting for Sandra Thompson, you want to look for her name and pull her lever, because should you not, you will vote her out. So, inshallah, if it's God's will, you guys look for, again, the best person for the job. For those that know Sandra, I am actually, I have, she's also a client of mine, you know, so I feel her welcoming, spirit, you know. I don't feel like, you know, she's in it for, okay, you know, the title, you know, is a responsibility. It's not just a title, it's a responsibility because, again, she, she have a place, her station already in society. However, she's, inshallah, in the position to make a change. And with that, you say you're fair, you're firm, and insightful. So with that, I'm going to ask you, while you're out and about in the community, what are some of the questions that you are being asked as far as the judicial system is concerned, or any questions that people may ask you where change is concerned?
Well, I mean, one of the questions that I get asked quite a lot is, why vote for a judge? And that's, you know, I have already in some of my answers already answered, why should you vote for a judge? And one of the other things that I normally try to explain to people is, I know, even as an attorney, I'm a private attorney, everybody cannot always afford to pay. And if it's a criminal matter, they may have the public defender. If it's a civil matter, depends on what it is, they may be able to go to MidPen Legal Services. But you don't have your choice of attorneys when you do that. And then there's some people who they make a little bit more money over than what the qualifiers are for the public defenders or legal services. So what happens when you're in that gap? So this, if you vote for a person who is knows the law and is fair in his application, if you wind up being in court and you cannot afford an attorney, you cannot afford the best attorney, but you have a good and you have a fair judge, that judge will make sure you had an opportunity to be heard, make sure you got due process, and make sure a fair decision is had, even if you come in without an attorney and the other side had an attorney, or even if both sides don't have an attorney, because that happens a lot in family matters. Neither one can afford one. So when you can't afford an attorney, if you have a fair judge, you're still going to get due process, and that should mean a lot to people. The other things that I am asked about is, what can I do to end the opiates problem? And I don't make promises to be that me alone, I alone could end it. To me, that would be a false promise, and I don't do that. I think that what I do is through my collaborations, through my community service, through my legal knowledge, and I look for, and I can as a judge, look for what's the best way to make a positive impact on each and every life that comes before my court. How can I get to the roots of the problem, whether it's violence, whether it's opiate, whatever it is that brought the person to court in the first place? How can I get to the root of the problem? How can I help that root to heal, to grow, to a positive direction? Some of it may be connecting them to reentry. Some of them may be connecting them to rehabilitation and counseling. Some of it may be probation. Some of it may be house arrest. Some of it may be incarceration. There is not one set answer. Because I'm a part of the York Opiate Collaborative, I know correction officers who say when people get these 6 months violation hits, that's too much time and it's not doing them any good. I know people who are in recovery say, you know, it was, I didn't want to turn around my life until I went to jail. There's no quick fix. It all depends on what the person, if they're ready. Because another thing from learning and walking in these groups and listening to the people is some people have been through rehabs 5 times or more and said, it wasn't, I never got it all those 4 or 5 times, but it was this last time all of a sudden I got it. And as a judge, sometimes we look at, well, why should I send you to a rehab again? You know, you already went once. So knowing that when you listen to the recovery community, they also talk about how relapse is a part of recovery. So, and then having that broad understanding of what is being said in these particular communities of what's going to work, what's not going to work, how many times must you do it before it does work, what's going to motivate the person to positivity. So, you know, but those are the types of things that I hear in the community. Also, what can be done about the violence. I think from the opiate addictions to crack addictions to any other type of addictions as well as violence, it's that that sense of self that's lacking, that sense of community that's lacking, self-respect, self-love, self-fulfillment, purpose. So that's, we need to try to reach the youth where we can mold them to think positive about themselves, have that self-love, and have them involved in the community so they see that they are a part of the community and the community is a part of them. And then that will probably, I believe that will reduce crime. But I don't come with a crystal ball. I just come with effort and opportunity. Yes.
Right. Definitely the effort and the opportunity. It is a joint effort and a joint opportunity. Now, I'm speaking back with the opioid addiction because this is something that is across the board. We know we're dealing with people in high and low places, the lower class, the middle class, the upper class. We know with our, with the community here, we know that our mayor, Kim Bracey, she is also running for office. And I bring this to say it because she is in the news about her son. Use of opioids that, you know, of course, he went to a disrespectful level. You know, when you under drugs and under the use of drugs, you capable of doing all types of heinous crimes against yourself and towards others. And we know in the news that he had, you know, physically abused his mother in public. And, you know, I find that the community, you know, down the middle mentioned that, you know, they, you know, not voting for her because of this situation, which, again, you know, this is something that is a reality. This is personal. It has no effect on her professional life because personally, you know, she is, you know, standing for the position in which she called for, you know. So now her personal and her professional has enveloped with one another. And, you know, the people lack the understanding, so they use that as a core to say what they're not going to do. But I personally say we ask for something, we beg for something, and when we get something, we shrug it. Now, back to the opioids, we're dealing with, it's a cause and effect, you know, prevent is better than cure. So with that being said, we have a lot of people that are using opioids, and, you know, because they are most cases drugs that, you know, people eventually turn to the harder form of it, which is dope. But what about the doctors, those that are prescribing these drugs? Of course, you know, the people misuse it, but what about the penalty for those people that are prescribing these or issuing these forms of drugs? So now you get it to the people that are trying to fight life or, you know, get over their problems through
hallucinations.
You know what I'm saying? These type of drugs, like, what are the penalties for them? Because I find that they, you put these people that are on drugs, you put them in, you send them to court, you give them 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, however, whatever, and, you know, they come back out to misuse and abuse themselves again. But the people that are prescribing them, you know, they just, like, what's the result of that?
Well, there has been some change. There has been some change in the laws to controlling and monitoring the writing of prescription drugs because that is seen as a huge contributor to the opiate addiction and crisis because many started on prescription drugs. And, you know, so it's the over-prescribing of the narcotics, the levels that were prescribed, the freedom of writing prescriptions and refills of prescriptions, and the medical community basically have stated, the recovery and medical community have stated that it only takes about one or two times to make you addicted because your brain changes. So the first time might be a want, or the first time might be from a prescription. And after that, if your brain changed from that first time, then the second and third times are now psychological, physiological needs. Your body feels that it needs it or it gets sick. And so the person becomes desperate to stop feeling that sickness. So that is why the prevention is really what's being pushed and pounded, and a part of the Opiate Collaborative, we're going into junior high and high schools and letting them know how it only takes one time to get addicted. So don't do it. Don't try it. At the same time, they're talking to the doctors about these prescriptions. And now they also do have a monitoring system in place now to see how often, whether or not a person is refilling their prescription excessively. So, it's, you know, some people would get a prescription, say, in York, then drive to Philly and get it filled again. They now have a monitoring system for all of that. They now have drop-offs at various places. I know the city is doing that as well, but a lot of police departments, any police department throughout the county, you can probably drop off your medication. Like if your prescription has expired, you no longer need the prescribed medications, don't leave it in your cabinets. Don't flush it down the toilet, because if you flush it down the toilet, there's a chance down the toilet, down the sink, there's a chance for it to get into the water system. So don't flush it. Don't put it down the sink. Dispose it at either your doctor's office, dispose it at a police station. They will safely take it. They will safely dispose of your prescriptions. And if you monitor your old prescriptions and your youth have less opportunity to get it. When you just leave it in the cabinet, and maybe for years or so, you forget about it because you're no longer taking it. Your children are paying attention. Your grandchildren are paying attention. They're using it. They're selling them. So get rid of them. Get rid of them legally and safely.
Definitely. Definitely. And that's something that is serious because, you know, they again, I just flushed some medication down the toilet that was prescribed to my son, and I'm like, why would they prescribe my son pills? You know, I don't want him taking pills,
right.
And I say that out of you know, just I don't want him to even the form of a pill, you know, a liquid,
right.
May it, not pill. But next question, I'm going to take a PSA and I'm gonna come back. I want you to hold to this thought again, you guys that are listening. We appreciate you. Push one on that phone. You are welcome. 425-292-4253. Push one, that's the access number to get you in. I definitely thank you in advance. Now, you say you're fair, you're firm, and insightful. And with the insightful, you say based on life and career experience and a connection to God to discern the needs and best interests of the people that come before you to help them reach their full potential. So I say that to say I'm going to ask you, what can you say to our youth? Because they are the future. What can you say to our youth and their future to bring positivity? Because, again, it has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with race. It's just the common core of humanity. Hold tight to that, and I'll be back, you guys. Do not go anywhere. This is Muslim My Reality, powered here by Community-Wide Shura Conference, AM 360, American Muslim 360, CWSC. Hold tight. Peace.
Support for American Muslim 360 comes from the Community-Wide Shura Conference at cwsc.us and from Muslim Journal, an international independent news source that recognizes Islam as a promoter of freedom, justice, and equality, online at muslimjournal.net. Sonoco Publishers, building a global marketplace for faith-based communities at sonocopublishers.com. Elamine Business Services, for accounting and more, at thepropagationcongregation.org, and H&H Fast Tax, hfasttax.com. File your taxes online and 50% will be donated to the CWSC and from believers like you. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Hi, this is Dr. Amina Ali, Wednesday night host of The Birth of Women here on AM 360. You know, we recently had a very successful pledge drive. Your passionate giving helps to keep the programming alive and well. So to keep the offering continual, we are asking each and everyone within our listening audience to make an ongoing, tax-deductible, very charitable donation of as little as $10 a month. You can use a major credit card, pledge via auto pay, or make a yearly donation of a higher amount. Log on to cwsc.us and click the donate button. Remember, your donation helps grow the iman of the Ummah into a higher intelligentsia.
Thank you, guys. You are holding. We are welcoming you. We thank you. You are listening to our show, Must Be My Reality, with our guest. This is Sandra Thompson. We thank you, guys. Our topic is why we judge. Real quick, Sissy Sandra, why do we judge?
Why do we judge? Well, you know, when you talk about the court system, it's the law. And, you know, you bring the, you try to bring, and it's supposed to be bringing your controversy that may be between family, between neighbors, to a neutral party. That's where, you know, started way back, you know, before Solomon, even with Deborah, that to bring your situation to have a wise and neutral party decide what's best for all involved. And outside of the court system, I mean, you know, we still judge everything and everybody. You were talking about meeting people in the community and how they were judging certain situations. So that's just something that we do as a people. But, you know, we just have to realize that we have to first judge ourselves, and because when we judge others, the same measuring stick we use to judge others will be judged in return. So we want to be very careful with just willy-nilly judging.
Definitely. And with that being said, we, as you know, as in Islam, we have this thing that is called enjoining the right and to forbid the wrong. And, you know, we have this thing, as you say, we as a human race, we always, you know, don't judge me, don't judge me. However, had we not judged, you know, what condition would we be in? Should we not judge, what condition would we be in? You know, it's enjoining
right.
the right and forbidding the wrong. So it's a must. It has to be, you know. Even with godly laws and manly laws, they go hand in hand. You have, you know, perjury when you lie, you know, do not steal, you know, what is it? You have, in some cases, they in states they you go to court for what, adultery, and you know you're penalized
right.
for a lot of things. So you know we need judges. It has to be. It's a must. It's a part of the process. It's a part of the human process in order to keep order. We cannot do what we want to do. We just cannot. I mean, if you go cross that red light, you, and should you be seen, you'll be penalized. You know, the stop sign is stop. The red light means stop. You know, you have to drive with license. You know, it's called law. It has to be set in
right.
place in order for us to have a society, a working society. Other than that, it would be a train wreck. So you guys, call us.
Right.
Push one on that phone. We still have time. 425-292-4253. Push one. We definitely welcome you and thank you. Now, I want to ask you this. Before I went to the break, I said, what can you say to our youth and their future? Because, again, we are living with, as we hear the word, the millennials, you know, they just aimlessly running around, you know, cell phones, walking in holes and poles and trees, you know, just, you know, lots of days ago, just, you know, I don't know what's going on around them. And maybe they do, I'm just saying, but what can you say to our youth in the future?
For every person, you have a purpose. Your purpose is always greater than your circumstances. And your start does not determine how you will finish. You know, I think you talked a little bit before, your title was You Never Knew You Would Be Here. You know, no, growing up, you are just struggling trying to live, especially if you're from a poor community and you're trying to get your education, you're trying to live, you're trying to avoid the violence that may be in your community. So you, if you keep your mind on a goal, on a purpose, on where you could be, what you could achieve, and the reality is you can achieve anything that you dream. So set a dream, have a dream, set that before you as a compass.
So walk toward that dream, and that will keep you focused so that when people are trying to pull you left or right, and even if you veer it off a little bit left or right, you're always going to come back to that compass. Now, the central compass is always God, and God does help you to form mm-hmm. your purpose. But keeping that focus, then you can avoid a lot of the pitfalls of the violence or the drugs or the suicide or the self-doubt, whatever that may be. But then realizing that you are worthy and that you are worthy regardless of whatever situation you may have fell in, whatever situation you may have come out of, whatever, if even in your home life, they're not telling you that you're worthy. If you know that you are worthy, know it in your own mind and know mm-hmm. it in your own heart and keep repeating it to yourself that you can accomplish whatever you dream. So that's the first thing, and the first thing is to start getting our youth to dream. Mm-hmm. And by holding up, as you said you could be doctors, lawyers, whatever. Well, it doesn't matter, mechanic, beautician, lawyer, doctor, mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. astronaut, president, whatever it is, hold them up in front of the youth. Give them something to point to say, oh, that's what it is. And then help them get set on that direction, understanding mm-hmm. how you get there. Help them through that process, but most importantly, helping them realize that they can get there. It may be hard mm-hmm. work. You may fall yeah. down sometimes. You know, you may yeah. get detoured sometimes, but you can get back up, get back on track. So it's not about your circumstances. You don't have to be the richest person, the smartest person even, mm-hmm. as long as you keep working toward it.
Yes. What I mm-hmm. do notice and have seen in society is that, again, I have to use the word godforsaken dungeon. I have to say that because I find that a lot of, you know, if you wasn't taught, how can you teach? So I find that if parents are not teaching or putting the spiritual root in the children, you know, how can we have a productive working society? Because that's the core of it. I mean, we know there's only two balances in life, right, wrong, good, bad, you know, up, down, in, out, heaven, hell. There are two balances. And should we not been taught, how can we teach? And I find that, you know, a lot of our youth today, you know, you mentioned the word God and it's like absenteeism. I mean, they don't find that, you know, you don't see it in their nucleus at all. And I find that, you know, even in the judicial system or, you know, in the public system or working society, as say you separate church from state, and I find that it's just an easy norm to do because you run away from the reality of. So I think that now with you, you know, being a judge, now how, you know, on your spiritual route, do you feel any type of, you know, I'm not going to use inconsistencies, I'm going to use any type of imbalances or, you know, feel some type of emotions when you have to judge a certain people based on a situation, you know, where your spirituality is concerned, because you're going to be not only looked upon in this life, you're going to be also looked upon and judged by God. So you're picking up a title that you got to be very, very careful with. How do you feel, you know, spiritually?
Well, I mean, that's where, well, let me say it this way, I guess. Yes, I do have faith in God, and I believe that he directs my path. I believe that he set mm-hmm. my purpose, as well mm-hmm. as it's my relationship with God that's helped me to love people. It's my relationship mm-hmm. with God that's helped me wanted to work with and for people versus just mm-hmm. to do my own thing and build up my own empire, you know, live mm-hmm. my own life for me alone. I work out in this community. I work for the community, taking the backlashes, because as you know, even working in the community, the same community that you are trying to help sometimes mm-hmm. don't appreciate it, you know. So I only do that because of my relationship with God and because he loved me and I loved him, and he says you also have to love my people. So that's how I approach things, and that's the effect of things on me, is to approach things with love and understanding and recognizing that, you know, again, the way I judge people is also the way I will be judged. So I want to do so with sensitivity and compassion and understanding while giving correction, because God gives correction as well. So also I know that I need to, there is man's laws, and I'm set. I am not the judge of God's laws. In the court of common pleas, I would be the judge of man's laws, whether the legislators make the laws. So for the people that's coming before me for criminal matters or civil matters or custody matters or family matters, I'm looking at the man-written laws to see whether or not the facts fit that.
Right.
If there's some type of moral, social issues that people decide that they want counseling, I can direct them to counseling services. And I can be a light. I can be a light in the way I treat people, the way I talk to people, the way I'm just with people, fair with people, that maybe they'll ask, why are you like that when nobody else did was, you know?
Right.
Sometimes that simpleness and going about everyday life, treating people fairly, they ask, why are you like this? Why do you have this light? Why do you give me this help when nobody else ever did? Then you can share your faith. But just going about in a particular judgeship or that vein, I have to do it neutrally.
Like you say,
equally.
Yes, in your everyday living. Yes, in your everyday living. Definitely.
Yeah, because there are people that – I'm sorry.
No. Yes, because you have to do it in your mannerism. You know, that's the best way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Completely. Yes. Yeah. So here you go. What you could say for those that are just tuning in, you guys, we have our guest, Sandra Thompson, who is running for the seat, the judge of the York County Court of Common Plea. She's definitely fair, firm, and insightful. This is what she definitely expressing in the community. And for those that know her personally and those that are about me, I know personally you have been out in the community. I know you have to do what you have to do to bring people awareness to the voting system, which you know that would be November 7th. So I'm going to let you know, I'm going to let you express what can you say to the general public to confirm why should they support you and your cause on November the 7th?
Well, I would like everyone to go out to vote. I would like everyone to vote for me, Sandra Thompson, for judge of the York County Court of Common Pleas. So if you live in York County, Pennsylvania, then please go vote Tuesday, November 7th. Tell your family, tell your friends, bring your neighbors all to the voting booth. And you do vote. A lot of times people do ask, where do they go vote? You vote the same place that you voted if you ever voted before. And if you voted for the presidential election, you vote at the same place. If you moved, didn't change your registration, go back to your last place that you last lived, that you last voted. You're still registered. So consider me Sandra Thompson for judge of your county court of common pleas. Please be particular and specific in your vote to vote for Sandra Thompson. Vote for who you want in the position. Vote for who best supports your purpose, your ideas, who are going to bring fairness and unbiasedness. And that's the thing, when sometimes people promise some degree of bias, that's not fair. It's not neutral, and eventually it would actually create bad law. Because if you make a law that's against one group of people, that same law can be used against another group of people. So that's why I'm against any of that type of targeting a law for a group of people. Because of the bad precedent that it starts. And, plus it's just bad business for humankind in general. But, yes, I'm just asking everybody to go out to vote and tell everybody to vote as well. Sandra Thompson, Judge, York County Court of Common Pleas. Thank you.
Yes, definitely. And when you speak about the fairness and being firm, and you had mentioned about setting laws, or, you know, that'll work for or against. And it also can work for and against you. And I say that because, you know, we have those that are in higher positions. So I'm going to ask you from the inside, because you know better than us, on different situations, again, because you're a specialty. How do you feel about the judicial system across the country? How is it working for us?
Well, I think they were on the track to try to improve, because as far as when you talk about criminal laws, a lot of things that were thought like the tough on crime and the war against drugs, stuff like that, those type of statements have led to mass incarceration. And they have learned that that is not good. It's not helping. It's not reducing anything. All it does is create a revolving door in the prison system, nobody getting help, nobody getting off of drugs, nobody getting out of the criminality. So stopping that, getting to the treatment, the root of the problem, getting employment, getting people a chance to have housing, getting people a chance to have transportation to employment, and getting their counseling for whatever their underlying issue is more helpful for reducing crime.
Yes.
So as
now
long as the judicial system stays on that track, it'll be good. Uh-huh.
Right. Now, I have to ask you this, because this is definitely something that is in the media, and I'm speaking about what's going on with the national leagues as far as the basketball and the football leagues, as far as them standing for the
right.
Pledge of Allegiance. Me personally, I do not pledge allegiance to nobody's flag, okay? I pledge my allegiance to God, to Allah. So, you know, you have the people, you know, that in upper positions, you know, looking down or trying to defame some of the players and or professionals, but it's not about the flag. It's about liberty and justice for all. Now, we're living in a society with the Black Lives Matter and, you know, the prejudices here and the black and white down the line. Like, how do you feel about, you know, where the judicial system, you know, falls in this area? Because it definitely has to do with legal and illegal.
Well, that scenario is ultimately going to come out in a contract situation specifically. So the courts are going to decide that one way or another through that breach of contract issue. But the rule of expression, the First Amendment rights, you know, those are our constitutional rights. And all constitutional rights need to be protected, whether it's First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fifth Amendment, whatever it is, we can't be a proponent for one, but an opponent be against another. If we're for constitutional rights, then we're for all constitutional rights. I mean, I did that particular story. I read how there was a veteran who actually advised Colin, because Colin originally sat for it. And he advised them that to really respect the military, kneel instead of sit. So I like that story of two people getting together, talking to learn about each other's perspective, and then another person making an adjustment based on what is or is not offensive. So I think that the kneeling was told by military personnel to be respectful of the military, and that is what he started to do. So, you know, I think everybody has their First Amendment right, and with that, people have a right to be against him for doing it, and people have a right to be for him.
Yeah, okay. So now, personally, again, you know, without, you know, as far as the feelings and emotions, I mean, we as a black race, and again, you are a minority, you're African American, and you're in a society that, you know, people think statuses, you know, rule, or, you know, color rules, or, you know, racism highly exists in our country. And I think that it's starting to be more prevalent now more than ever. Like I had mentioned, that we're only 50 years since what Martin Luther King left out of the gate. And we still have all of these phobias, again, not just Islamophobia, but a whole bunch of prejudices across the board where black and white is concerned. So me personally, with that issue, I think it stems back to not just, you know, the First Amendment or, you know, your freedom of speech and because it's not working for us. I mean, because we really, you know, don't have freedom of speech and a whole bunch of other freedoms. It's just, you know, a strategic way of saying, like, again, the laws will work for certain people and not for a certain class of people and not another class of people. So we have anarchy across the board. You know, maybe we have success because personally I find that it's the heart. Until the heart become purified, then the body will become purified, and we will work together as a whole of humanity and not your color, your religion, your status. You know, we all come together on a common core, a common purpose. So now I'm going to ask you some words of encouragement to give a push or some upliftment, something that, because we all have a purpose. We all have a benefit in this. Again, we never know who we will be or where we will end up, you know. So I'm asking you for some words of encouragement. And I definitely thank you so much. May you have huge success, better in the hereafter. May God give you, you know, all that you need in this life that definitely will serve you best in the hereafter. And may you never stop seeking and or searching the truth in all matters of life. Much success. I'm going to give you that moment to give us a push.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the time to talk with you and to talk with your listeners and have them listen as well. One of the things I do want to say is we do have the constitutional rights. We fought. We are here. We are citizens. We, too, are America. So we do have the constitutional rights. We have to continue to let people know we have it and let people know we will enforce them equally for ourselves as well. We'll continue to fight for them. We'll continue to preserve them. And we have to get involved. So we have to get involved as well, that whatever our religion is, whatever our gender is, whatever our race is, we have to get involved in these systems. And I think that also that we are being positioned. We are being positioned, especially if you are people of purpose, that you're being positioned, and I believe I'm being positioned to make sure that we are still protected in these systems. So I think my encouraging words are don't give up, don't give in, don't lose faith, keep running the race, find our purpose, and let's walk toward it, and let's walk in love, walk in peace, walk in God.
Definitely.
So
I appreciate you
work.
So much. Yes, I appreciate you
Thank you so
much, Sandra Thompson, of course, running for judge in New York County Court of Common Plea. Thank you guys for listening and supporting. May Allah reward all of us for our intentions. Our intentions is to please God and nothing else. That's our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is the hereafter. No one wants to go to hell, not even a little bit. So, you guys, we are here for the duration. So should you guys would like to get this in the archives, for you guys who are just tuning in, you can always go to cwsc@online.org to get your rewind on or listen to it in the archives. Or you can also follow American Muslim 360, CWSC, on the socials, that's Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, and so Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, definitely. You guys can always follow me. Just Google me, Kalima Abdul-Rashid, and stay tuned for more Muslim Reality, AM360, all the AM360 shows, and stay tuned. Show following this one. We thank you for your support. Much success. Again, we thank you, Sandra Thompson. We'll be hearing from you, inshallah. Much success. May God give you all that you need. Again, much success in this life and best in the hereafter. So I thank you guys again for listening and supporting Muslima Reality, CWSC, AM360. I'm saying assalamu alaikum. Transfer that into peace and blessings be upon all of us. Ameen. Amen. Thank you again, you guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are completely welcome.